you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hey everybody, it's Diane again with Someone Gets Me, and I have an interview for you today that you are going to love. So sit back, and you might want to get a pen and paper and take some notes, or be ready to replay some of the unbelievable content you are about to hear. The woman I have with us today is a highly experienced and highly educated woman who I have known for many years. I met her at a SANG conference for gifted people, and we had hit it off right away. Julie Skolnick is the founder of an amazing progressive company called With Understanding Comes Calm. She really holds at the core of her being that once somebody understands what's really happening, they can have a sense of calm. She's taken her mission far and wide and really touched lives beyond what most people can understand, probably more than she understands. Her mission of service and care takes her into the school system in Maryland where she lives, and she is active in helping anyone with a twice exceptional child or themselves being twice exceptional to have a better life in all the ways that they can. She's sponsoring a event that's a virtual conference called 2 Days of 2E that she'll tell you about, I'm sure. Now, the other thing, cool thing about Julie is she is a cool mom. She has these three amazing children, a great husband, and she is very, very dedicated to her family. So she has managed to create an amazing business and have a great family, all of them gifted with extra exceptionalities. So she is very skilled and able to speak to us in a passionate way and help us understand that you are understood. That's why Someone Gets Me. So welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Diane.
This is going to be so fun to speak to you because there's so many questions I have for you. And so let's start with a little bit about your passion and your mission and what happened that got you to start with Understanding Comes Calm. Like, where did all of this come from? Because I know it had to have been percolating before it like came into fruition.
So, you know, when I think about the name With Understanding Comes Calm, I always think about you, Diane, because I have this visual image in my head. And I remember I was visiting my parents and I was standing at their front door and you and I were talking, as I'm so blessed to know you and get to talk to you about all sorts of things. But I was on the other side of some issue that occurred with one of my fabulous twice exceptional children. And I remember just reflecting and saying to you, and this was like 6 years ago, I remember saying, with understanding comes calm. And do you remember? All of a sudden I went, oh my God, that's going to be the name of my business. And it was this realization that the crux and the importance of moving forward in any relationship with another person or with yourself is to feel understood, to let the other person feel understood. And that's where that calm comes in, and we need the calm to move forward. So With Understanding Comes Calm was born out of a journey that I went on when I was raising my children. They're 17, 15, and 9 now, if you can believe it. And it really was figuring things out and realizing that the first step is to really understand or seek to understand.
That is beautiful, and that's true, too. I was just talking about understanding and the whole idea of being understood as a core value for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people that have different giftedness and different exceptionalities really have difficulty feeling understood by people who just don't understand that. And so I think the education that you offer and I offer and many people offer in the world is so valuable to help people really get an understanding of something that they don't understand at all.
Well, and I'm even going to say, you know, there's two things. There's being understood. Like if you think of any conflict, you don't feel understood at that moment. But it's not only not being understood, different is being misunderstood, which can be even worse. So I have clients whose kids start out not being understood, and then it flips to being misunderstood. So let me give you an anecdote of what I mean. I had this couple who had a daughter who was in fourth grade, and highly gifted, emotionally overexcitable, which is not a bad thing. Sounds overexcitable like it's too much, but overexcitabilities, as I know you know, are a way of plugging into the world in a very organic way. And she was identified with ADHD. And anyway, she was on this behavior plan in school, and the teacher literally would write up these reports and emails to the parents. I mean, I don't know how the teacher had the time to do this. I'm sure she had, you know, she was trying to be helpful. But everything this kid did or didn't do was in this email. So one day, two working parents said, Julie, could you please review these emails and tell us, like, what's important? So this was great for me because I had a window into the classroom. And I was reading the emails, and there was this one missive where the teacher wrote, today we finished reading a sad book, and the kids broke out into a group. And I forgot to mention this child also had social skills challenges. So the kids broke up into a group, but your daughter decided to sit by herself. Well, flag number one, nobody's deciding to sit by themselves. So that was a great opportunity for the teacher to understand and sit with this child. But that didn't happen. And then the teacher went on to say, everybody was talking about the book. It was a sad book. And all of a sudden, your daughter yelled out, we should read Marley and Me because the dog dies in the end. And then the teacher wrote, this is what I mean about your child's impulsivity. She ruined that book for everybody. Okay, so I go and I sit down across from the parents, and I say, okay, let's review what we know about your daughter. She is highly gifted. She's a precocious reader, been reading well beyond her years. She's emotionally overexcitable, loves pets. She was reading a really sad book. High five to her for hearkening back to another book that was really difficult and using that strategy of remembering how she got through that book to get through this book. There's no way she wanted to ruin that book for anybody. Well, the dad picked his jaw up off the floor, looked at me and went, she would hate it if anybody ruined a book. She would never want to do that. I was wondering what happened. So, Diane, what happened to this kid in the classroom? Not only was she not understood, but she was misunderstood and probably shamed for it. And so there is this very important difference where not being understood, when it morphs into being misunderstood, is even more draconian for the person.
Yes, that's a perfect example of it, too. And sadly, it happens far too often. And, you know, and I believe the teacher probably even had a noble motive of trying to really be helpful, and so was so off base that misunderstanding, thank God you were in the presence with that family, you know, to help and be that person. What, you know, if you weren't there, that wouldn't be good for any of them. But that's a perfect example. I'd like to talk a little bit about one of the topics that's very common for all of our listeners, and that is overthinking. That idea of, you know, staying up all night thinking about things. You know what overthinking is about. And
a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit. And, you know, and some people have the intellectual overexcitability, and some people have just a lot of anxiousness and overthinking. And there's all different kinds of sources of them, of course. And what I'm interested in is different strategies or tips or kind of life hacks that maybe you've been able to work with yourself or your family or your clients on helping making overthinking not be such a big issue for them, or get through some of those challenges so that they can function in the world better and not let the overthinking that they might be experiencing stop them.
So the first thing I'm going to say is, well, let's not overthink this. No, I'm just kidding. The first thing I'm going to say is, as much as we need, and I'm talking about with understanding comes calm, we have to understand ourselves. So guess what? If you're an overthinker, that's okay. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know what? I'm an overthinker and it's okay. So the first thing is to be self-forgiving. So recognize when you're overthinking. And guess what? You know what? If you're, quote, overthinking, you're probably going deep into something and it might be really interesting. And if you have the time for it, go for it. But if you're trying to get something else done and you have a goal, then that's when we've got to put the brakes on. So first of all, if your brain likes to go deep, that's an awesome gift. Let your brain go deep, number one. Number two, however, if it's getting in the way of living your life, getting things done, getting stuff accomplished, then you know what? Get yourself a thought diary and write down where you want that rabbit hole to go so that you can come back to it later. Because really what's happening is your brain is trying to go and make connections that are really interesting or deep. And we don't really want to stymie that. So give yourself the opportunity to come back to that thought. You might be subconsciously or consciously worried that you might let go of some of these thoughts you really want to explore. Write them down, but have a goal in mind so that you do get to that goal. Now, sometimes overthinking has a negative connotation, and you're, let's say, walking down the street and somebody walks by you and they don't smile, and immediately you go into this downward spiral. Oh my God, they must be mad at me. I'm a terrible person. They can't stand me. Why don't they like me? They like the other people. When in fact, maybe they're just having a bad day and it's not about you at all. So a lot of overthinking, we need to be forgiving to ourselves. We need to have positive self-talk to allow ourselves to go in a direction that is productive as opposed to destructive.
Beautiful. That is great. Because not all overthinking is destructive. And there's a time and place for allowing our brains to do their thing and think of neat ideas and follow things.
You know, there's one more thing I want to say, actually, Diane, which is, this is a very awesome question and timely. So we have to also recognize and honor overthinking in our children and our students. The other night, my 15-year-old, an hour after he was supposed to be in bed, and you know my 15-year-old, Diane, so this won't surprise you, came into my room and said, "Mom," and I could have been mad. I could have been like, "Dude, you went to bed an hour ago. You got to get up early in the morning." But he started down this awesome path, and he said, "Mom, I'm just wondering, like, if there's not an afterlife, then like, why are we living? Or if there is an afterlife, then should we really be thinking about why we're living and why are we living and what's the purpose?" You know, and I could have been like, "Could you think about this later? Like, you need to go to bed." But instead, we sort of did this whole scenario. It was really fun. It lasted like maybe 15 minutes, and I let him go down that road. It was totally awesome. It was a bonding moment. He was overthinking for sure. But guess what? If I had tried to make him go to bed, he'd be laying in bed thinking all those things. So instead, he was talking to me about it. We had a great conversation. We didn't solve any problems. We didn't figure it out. We didn't, you know, finish the conversation to its end. But it was fun, and it was okay.
And he got to be validated by you, the mom,
right,
for thinking of these ideas and concepts that clearly usually people much older than him would typically even start thinking about. So he had the opportunity to have you validate him and listen to him, and in a productive way, versus saying, "Just go to bed, we'll deal with this later," and dismissing it. And then now there's a big mess to clean up. So that's a genius thing. And I can actually see him doing that. That's wonderful.
Well, with understanding comes calm, Diane.
With understanding comes calm. In fact, it was really funny because, you know, you are in my book, The Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders. And when I was putting that book together, I'm like, well, I need to find some current visionary leader people who are current thinkers to be in the book alongside the historical greats. And of course, you were one of the top names that popped in my head. And I was so grateful to you that you gave me some really great quotes for that book.
Thank you.
And I think of the "with understanding comes calm" conversation you've already referenced and other things because it is so true. And I love that that phrase is a truth, and that's the company that goes with the truth. Like, it all has this beautiful feel to it, and it's beautiful. I think it's just absolutely beautiful. And that example that you just shared about your son goes with it.
And thank you. Yeah.
He could go to sleep because his mom understood him and gave him a chance to understand himself a little more. So that is
now remember, because I don't want people out there listening thinking that, you know, I have this perfect ability to always connect, because parents, we don't have that. So there's definitely times when I don't have patience, and there's definitely times when I make mistakes. And I always think of those mistakes, as I tell my kids, as the perfect time to learn and to role model. So it doesn't always work out beautifully like that. And I'm not always up at that hour.
Well, there's always those moments, no matter what, we're always learning, right?
100%.
So can you think about a scenario of maybe a family you helped or somebody you helped that was really impactful for you? to give a flavor to all of us about what it's like to work with you, what it's like and how you look at things, what it's like if I had a family or, you know, a child and I really needed somebody to help support me with the education or with understanding their twice exceptionality, maybe even start by explaining what a twice exceptional is. And maybe a scenario, a family that you've helped or worked with that particularly touched your heart that would be a good example for people to understand a little bit about how Julie works.
Thank you for asking that question. So twice exceptionality is also known as gifted, talented, learning disabled, or GTLD. I cast my net widely and I say gifted and distractible, but it's somebody who's identified gifted with a learning difference or a learning disability. And that can be anything from ADD, ADHD, dyslexia, dysgraphia, language-based learning difficulties, or it can be executive functioning challenges, it can be working memory, processing speed, social-emotional challenges, or anxiety, any of those things, and that's not an exhaustive list. What happens is I guide parents. What I like to say is I guide parents. I mentor 2E adults. I train teachers, and I collaborate with clinicians because I also sit in with clinicians on their case meetings and help them understand through a 2E lens. So I love everything that I do. I call it four legs of the stool. I get everybody at the table, and I have the perspective of all of these different populations, which is really awesome because they all inform each other. But what I call my process really is the cycle for success. And it's, if you can imagine sort of three circles making up a triangle. At the top is the understanding piece. Then lower right is the strategy piece. And lower left is the advocacy piece. And all three of these areas inform each other. So first we do the deep dive into the understanding. What is the profile? What does it mean? What's the inner experience to be understood as a twice exceptional or 2E person? And then once we have that calm, that understanding, we move into durable strategies. I call them durable because we have the child's buy-in and therefore they work better and they last longer. And then we need to advocate and we have to, and the wheel keeps going around and around because you have to advocate for people to understand. You have to advocate for people to use those strategies. You have to advocate for people to learn how to advocate for their student, their child, and the child needs to advocate for themselves or the adult needs to advocate for themselves. So that's sort of a quick and dirty what the cycle is or what the meetings are that I go through with my clients. As far as a specific example, I'm chuckling over here because as my husband knows, whenever I meet with a client, I come home and I go, ugh, I love my clients. They come to me via email. They're referred to me in neuropsychological reports. They're teacher, who, but they come to me and they bare their soul. Diane, I know you know what I mean. They share. I'm so honored by what they share with me. And I think the most impactful thing, which is very relevant to this podcast, Someone Gets Me, is, oh my God, my brain just did that thing where I wanted to say 10 things at the same time. So they say to me, it's the most amazing thing is to sit with somebody who not only understands, but who sees the strengths and positively reframes for me, my child, my child's behavior. So I'm constantly, parents bring me lots of times behavior challenges, emotion regulation challenges. And I know from my understanding what these kids are dealing with and the fact that all they're doing is whatever it is they're doing and that they're not doing a whole bunch of other things or that they're dealing with so much for so long before they erupt is so important to understand. So, you know, I could tell you about every single client because I love all of my clients. I really do. I know it sounds hokey, but it's true. But I'm thinking about a set of parents, and I love it when I talk to both parents if it's possible. It's not always possible. And they went through my sort of this three meeting process that I do, and then they stayed with me on a weekly basis, and we do video because they're out of state. They come to me. I'm sorry, monthly, not weekly, monthly, And they come to me and they save up all their questions. And we go through all the scenarios of things that have happened. And the growth is so great because they started out, especially Dad was sort of self-deprecating, like, oh, I suck at this. I'm terrible. I can't do this. It doesn't work. I can't. She does a better job, whatever. Now it's so exciting. I give them virtual high fives through the computer, you know, for really using strategies and really reflecting and really forgiving themselves and role modeling. And when they make mistakes, to go and talk to the child about it in such a great way. So, you know, I have those types of parents. I have parents who come to me, you know, we live in a country, probably a world, but a country with a very medical mindset where we need to have a diagnosis and we need to have a cure. And our parents get brainwashed into this system and they start to blame. They blame themselves. They blame their spouse or their partner. They blame their in-laws. They blame the kids, whatever it is. And they are working against themselves. So I love to say, Diane, that I give parents permission to parent differently. I give teachers permission to teach differently. It's looking at a child's behavior and knowing above all what Dr. Ross Green says, which is that kids would do well if they could. There's something keeping this kid from doing well and they want to do well. And so that's our premise.
That is beautifully said, and it completely aligns with the things I run into all the time. Is we are in a culture, I believe, that is brainwashed into the medical model of find out what's wrong and start with what's wrong and beat what's wrong with you into your head about what's wrong with you, and then try to either cure or fix something. And I don't even know that it even needs to be fixed. I think it needs to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
I think all people wake up every morning wanting to do their best, you know, and whatever that is. Even on the days we've done our worst, we were trying to do our best.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to that place of understanding that it's not all about fixing things, it's about finding better ways to handle things and do things, life becomes a lot better on every level.
And it's also, it shouldn't be defining you. That shouldn't define you, that day that you wake up and don't do great. That's you know, the next morning should be a reboot, start over, new day, you know, but people need to understand and be forgiving of others and themselves.
Yes, that compassion is very, very important.
Yep.
What are some things that you do to manage your own personal stress level?
Oh, that's such a good question. Everybody out there, nobody out there can see my cute puppy, who's a almost 4-year-old standard poodle, red standard poodle, Tigger. That's a big stress reliever for me. That probably, I'm sure, is a sensory, you know, I love to pet my dog and he's my shadow. And so walking my dog, running with my dog and being present with that cute little unconditionally loving face is great. Making time to be with my kids and be present, not with the phone in my hand, not with the computer. You know, this is a very timely question because I had the flu. And it knocked me down. I usually have, you know, boundless energy. And it was all I could do to be vertical for an hour a day for about 5 days. And my husband and I looked at each other and I was like, I am working too hard. I need to make sure that we have time together. And we said we need to make a life plan. We need to, just like a business plan, we need to figure out when are we having date night? When are we doing? And I've decided, even though, you know, as I'm preparing for this awesome virtual conference, 2 days of TUI, I've been working like crazy. And my kids come home, I say hello to them, I give them a snack, I go right back to work. Well, I have made a commitment that I'm closing my computer by 4 o'clock when they get home, and I'm hanging out with them doing whatever they want to do. And it is so great. This morning, for the first time, I went grocery shopping and I loved it. Who loves grocery shopping? I loved it because I was doing something for my family. That I was planning a dinner, you know, and so I try really hard now to diversify my portfolio of life. I'm trying really hard to do something different, hang with friends, have friends over. I have to do those things. I have to be very intentional in my work. I love my work, but I could work 24 hours a day and love it, but that's not really healthy. So I need to be able to make sure that I'm feeding all sorts of different parts of my soul. Okay, so then there's this secret that I'm going to tell you. There's a TV show that I love to watch. It is so silly. I can't even tell you how silly it is, but it's like my secret thing. I do it by myself. I watch this show and there are horses and it's beautiful and it's a soap opera and I love it. So that's my other secret. That's my secret thing that I do. Music is great. Dancing in the kitchen for sure. But you know what else I have to say for that overthinking question, for the, you know, getting stuff done on your to-do list is, and I just said this to my daughter the other day who was really stressed out. I said, write a list of everything you think you need to do. Just go for it. Write everything down that you need to do and just commit to getting one thing done. You'll feel better. So that's another way of trying to be intentional and getting things done, but one at a time, not overwhelming yourself.
Yes. Yes. Brain dump list. So I think we're going to title the episode Diversify Your Portfolio.
I knew you were going to be writing that down.
I love it. And so that is great advice, though, because that diversification, I call it a lot of having equilibrium. It's not about balance. It's about having equilibrium across mm-hmm. everything. And I love that visual of diversifying our portfolio. And when you said that, I'm like, oh, I love that. I love that. So if you want to hear what Julie said again, you can rewind and listen to that advice about how to handle life stressors and what to do, because it's genius and it works.
Well, I made it up for you. I've never said that before. I'm just saying.
So you've heard it here first on Someone Gets Me, right? I love it. So I want you'd have a little opportunity to talk to everybody about 2 days of 2E virtual conference that you've created through your business. It's your thing, and it's coming up soon. But I understand that even if somebody listens to the podcast after the actual event, they can get to the recordings or something.
Yep, absolutely.
So would you say a little bit about what the conference is, how to register, and of course I'll put all the links in the show notes, but say a little bit about it so that people will understand what it really is.
Thank you for asking me, Diane, because this is a passion project. One of my speakers, Stephen Chow, called it my passion project. So 2 days of 2E virtual conference. You can go to 2daysof2e.com to learn about it. There's even a 40-second promo video, which I'm really proud of and is inspirational and very fun to watch. That's there in the conference summary. So this really came out of Let's Talk 2E, which is our digital media division at With Understanding Comes Calm. I do live, as you know, I do live Facebook interviews whenever I go to a conference. And Let's Talk 2E has kind of grown. People love these interviews that I do on Facebook Live. And so I had this idea to do a virtual conference. Nobody has to pay for travel. Nobody has to pay for lodging, food. Don't have to be away from your families. Don't have to be away from work. You can watch these 2 days of incredible thought leaders in the field of 2E. So I'm going to keynote and start with my cycle for success. I'm going to do a deep dive in everything that we talked about today on the podcast. And then I have Dr. Ed Amen talking about misdiagnosis and misdiagnosis. Stephen Chow is talking about identification. Susan Bauman, Robin Shader talking about a strength-based and talent-focused approach. Dan Peters is talking about anxiety. Make your 2E worrier a warrior is the name of his session. That's day one. Day two starts with Lisa Van Gemmer talking about addressing perfectionism. Donna Ford talks about underachievement. Joe Renzulli and Sally Reese talk about school-wide enrichment and talent development. Bobby Gilman talks about academic advocacy for 2E children. And then the great Jonathan Mooney finishes us off with his ending keynote called Normal Sucks. So all 10 of these sessions will air. They're already recorded. So what happens is you come on October 26 or 27, which is when this launches, it'll be Friday and Saturday, and you can jump on and watch these sessions unfold starting at 12 o'clock Eastern. And during the sessions, most of my experts are actually going to be on a live chat, able to answer questions and comments from the public. Then at the same time, and in between, before and after, we have chat forums, for one for parents, one for educators, where you can bond, commiserate, share best practices. We have people signed up from 27 states and 8 different countries, so you can really meet some really diverse, awesome people. And then at the same time, we have virtual exhibitor hall, which is organized into categories, consultants, clinicians, education, enrichment, and associations. And you can look through there, spin through there, and learn about all these awesome resources, all for Twice Exceptional families. And when you enter a booth in the exhibitor hall, most, maybe all, are offering free prizes, really great stuff. So that's 2 days of TUI. It launches October 26, 27, 2018, but it is then available on demand through April of 2019. So if you have a group of 5 or more, you get a 10% discount. It's $129 per individual, which means it's $12 per session. So I hope you'll join us. It has been a lot of fun. The sessions are incredible. And we're really excited about providing content, community, and collaboration through this conference.
That is amazing. It is of 2E. So I'm going to make sure that the link is in the show notes, and I will be sure to be sharing it with the families I'm working with and make sure that they haven't already heard about it, that they hear about it more specifically.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, because it's a very big service that you're doing, and that's like an amazing deal. That's like, whoa, okay. That's awesome. So I want to thank you, Julie, for being on the show and being in my book and being my friend over all these years. Meeting at the conference that day and then becoming fast friends has really been a great ride for both of us to watch your children grow and watch our businesses grow and change, and the good that you're sharing in the world is so inspiring to me. So is there anything that I didn't ask you or anything that you feel led to say before we close the show today for this interview? We can always do another one at another time.
Well, I just want to say to everybody out there that someone gets me is such a powerful statement. And when I first went to that SANG conference, Supporting the Emotional Needs of the Gifted conference, Diane was my very first session. It was 6 steps to joyful living. And right after, I mean, it was like, I don't know, the whole room melted away and it was just me and Diane. But I'm telling you, it was standing room only in that tiny little room. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I remember everybody melted away and it was just Diane was talking to me. You guys know about this because that's how Diane talks to people. She's connects with you. And I left that first session and I called my husband and I said, I am never missing this conference again. And Diane, it has been such an honor and a joy to have you in my life. And sometimes we talk every day for a week and sometimes we don't talk for months, but whenever we get back together, it's like we take up right where we left off. And it's such a special connection. And the work that you're doing and the light that you're bringing into the universe is really unparalleled and gorgeous. So thank you for the work that you're doing. And thank you for having me on your show today.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very sweet. I'm all choked up now. And I have a passion, you know, for helping people feel understood. And that feeling that you get when somebody does get you, and in fact, Someone Gets Me was named this because that's what everyone says after they meet me the first time. They go, oh my God, someone finally gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes together with Understanding Comes Calm. It all is together. And so such a powerful, wonderful interview. You've shared so many great things with us, and I want to thank you sincerely taking the time out this evening to be interviewed.
It's been my pleasure.
I will put Julie's information in the show notes for you. She's got all kinds of ways you can connect with her, along with the 2 days of 2E conference will be in the show notes for you. And be sure that when you connect with Julie, let her know you heard this interview, because she will love the fact that this is how you got to know her, because she's great and dynamic. So look her up and connect with her. It would be amazing. And remember one thing, that as you keep your face to the sun, the shadows fall behind you. You are a rock star, so go for it. We're here to support you and make sure that you keep smiling and remind yourself that you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're lovable, and you are capable. Until next time, be blessed.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you?
Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.